This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
No, my hari mai ko Hana Tōku Ingoa, and you're listening to That's the Ticket. Now, it's no secret that Christmas is just around the corner, and the Christmas show content keeps on coming to TTT. Today, I'm pleased to be entering what I call the Beyond section of That's the Ticket and getting the goss on what's coming up at the Gaslight Theatre in Cambridge. It's my pleasure to welcome some of the cast from Grinch. Do I say Grinch-ish? Grinch-ish?
Grinch-ish, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's just I saw the dot, dot, dots, and I'm like, are the dot, dot, dots silent?
Well, it's the Grinch-ish.
Oh, see, okay. Yep, that's what I'm meaning, guys. Thank you, thank you. I've got some cast from the Grinch-ish in the studio today. Kia ora, Charlie, Shannon, and Eleanor. Welcome to That's the Ticket.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Yeah, I'm like, we're all going in turns. It's always nice when I've got a full studio, to be honest, because then it's like we all have to take turns. Not me. I mean, I just talk whenever I want and everyone just like blindly follows and listens. Yeah, but appreciate you guys taking the time. As I mentioned, this is what I call the Beyond section of That's the Ticket. Because, yes, we are coming at you live from Free FM Studios in Hamilton, but this show is taking place in Cambridge. Are you guys all Cambridge locals?
No.
No. Oh, are you an import?
I'm from Hamilton East.
Oh, same. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
this is where we discovered that we're neighbours.
Obviously.
Maybe we'll have that chat off air.
You stole my Uber Eats.
What was your Uber Eats order? Just asking for a mate.
Mexican food. Gotta be.
Okay. Oh, I didn't expect to end up here, like, instantly, but I'm glad. So I'm going to get back on track. This is my toxic trait, feels dramatic, but as a radio host, I'm very keen on the chat and I go off topic very, very easily. But we are here to talk about the Grinch-ish. And what I like to do when I have guests on the show who are working on a play or pantomime, I guess it's technically this one, is I like to hit you guys with some questions, kind of the when is the show, where is the show, what is the show, what's the show's favourite colour, that kind of thing. And I mean, I feel like we've got the where covered because you guys are on at the Gaslight Theatre in Cambridge, correct?
Yes.
And the when. Now, this is always a good one when I have actors in the studio because you know, you guys are getting close to opening. And so I feel like you're kind of in the zone of it's just like, I'm just at the theatre all the time. But do you know when your show dates are? I do have them written down.
I do, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I do.
All right, hit me, whichever one of you would like to tell me when your show is.
It's from the 29th of November to the 13th of December. And there's like matinees and evening nights we do it too.
Correct. Well done. 10 points to Hufflepuff. More info and tickets are available now at gaslight.nz. We always kind of advise booking your tickets in advance.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's just what we're all about here on That's the Ticket. Don't leave it to the last minute. And I guess that leaves us with the what. So, you're not meant to judge a book by its cover or a play by its title, but because it's called The Grinch-ish, it's kind of giving me Christmassy vibes. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it's a Christmas panto, family-friendly show, hopefully.
Ish.
Hopefully. so I guess, if you guys are willing to tell me more about the show, it's at your guys' discretion how spoilery we get. So who wants to give it a crack?
Well, let's go with a bit of the description we've been given before auditioning. So the Grinch is coming back to Whoville with Harry Potter's bumper book of spells.
Okay.
In order to take revenge on Whoville. It's a pantomime, so there's a lot of comedy elements, a bit of audience interaction in it, and it's quite a fun play, I think, to be a part of and to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well done. Well done.
Very good. Not practiced at all.
I mean, I would say, actually, that's the thing. I should have higher standards on my guests to practice before they come on the ticket, because usually we're harping on about how rehearsals and stuff are going, so I know that everyone's good for it. But, I mean, that sounds like there's a lot going on, but I'm definitely intrigued. I enjoy the kind of crossovers there, or out the gate. And I feel like I was looking at the blurb for the show when I was looking at tickets, which you can find at gaslight.nz. And there's a few familiar faces, a few familiar names from fiction in there, which is quite exciting. And I guess looking at you three, could we do around the room and you could tell me what your roles are in the show?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Do you want to start, Shannon?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Shannon. I play Charlie Chuckles. He's the cheermeister of Whoville, so he's filled with energy, always running around. Bit of a suck-up to the mayor, but, you know, he has a lot of fun on stage, I'd like to hope.
Okay, all right, I'm on board.
Hey, I'm Eleanor, and I play this character called Annie Good, and she's, like, the female heroine of the story. She's always looking for ways to make the Grinch feel better and include him instead of humiliating him and turning him away from Whoville. So she's always trying to look for the good in all the situations that appear on stage.
Okay, that sounds like a good time. Charlie, who have you got?
I'm Charlie and I'm playing Pinchit. He is the Grinch's sidekick and he is quite mischievous, enjoys getting into a bit of mischief, a bit of fun. Quite enjoyable to play on stage.
Okay. Would we say that we're typecast?
A couple of the cast members, I would say, are typecast, that's for sure, but not all of us.
Okay, fair. And I guess the question I want to ask next is, have you guys done theatre before? Yeah, we're nodding. We can't.
Silent nodding. Yes, we have.
Yes, I have too.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys ever been in a show together before?
No.
Eleanor and I have actually.
Wow. Okay.
Me and Charlie, we did Aladdin a few years ago.
Great.
Another pantomime at the Gaslight Theatre.
Oh, wow. Okay. Who did you guys play in that one?
I was ensemble in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the narrator.
Oh, okay. All right. And I guess previous theatre experience, so you two have done stuff at Gaslight. Shannon, have you done anything at Gaslight before?
No, I've actually just moved down from Auckland, so all my experience is up that way.
Oh, okay. All right. How was it in Auckland? What did you get up to there, theatre-wise?
Quite a lot. We came from a bit of a small town, so we were kind of involved in everything.
Okay, and are we exclusively plays, or do we enjoy musicals as well? Where do we sit on that one?
If I had the talent for a musical, I would be part of it. I struggle mainly on the singing element.
Right.
My area of expertise is more speech and drama, which in that it's more about talking skills as well. So actually quite useful for me being on air right now.
Yeah, as soon as you started saying that, I'm like, I feel underqualified. We can swap after the first song break and you can host.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
So do you do any, competition-y stuff with the speeches?
Yeah, actually, this year I went to Nationals, National Young Performer Award.
Well done.
Where I was a semi-finalist in speech and drama, so that's...
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you should have definitely brought that up sooner. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and with my remaining two guests, where do we sit on the musical theatre side of things?
Unfortunately, I don't have the coordination for any of those amazing dances that we've seen. And same as Charlie, if I had the voice for it, absolutely I would.
I just want to say, if you can dream it, you can do it, guys. And then Eleanor, what about you?
Yeah, I'm the same as both of them. If I could sing, I would love to do musicals, but I love dancing and getting involved in even ensemble bits, which is really cool.
Great. Nice. Okay. I mean, similar vibe with myself. I think I've kind of found my niche in that I host a arts radio show, and that's kind of, it makes me feel like I'm a part of it, even though I do not act, I do not sing, I do not dance. I do enjoy being an audience member, though, and so and I've got another question for you guys that I, and because you've all done theatre before, I'm interested to hear your opinions here. When I have actors in the studio, I often ask this one, and it's... opening night versus closing night. Which is your favourite?
That's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. I love a good would you rather. So, like, if you're going to save one from the burning building, what's it going to be?
Opening nights, I feel, are definitely for family of the cast. That's what it tends to be. I don't know if you find the same. Closing nights are, in my opinion, more fun because, you know, it's the last show, so you're pulling out all the things that you weren't willing to try before, and you've probably got, like, friends in the audience.
Your director might be listening, mate.
Sorry, Tracy. And as Charlie said before, there is a lot of audience interaction, so when you have the chance to do that, I think it builds up the energy quite a lot.
Actually, that is a good point to make with this one, because it's a pantomime, and as you guys have touched on with the Grinch-ish, like, there's audience interaction. So in a sense, no one show is going to be the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Our show's a lot based off the reaction of the audiences. So some nights they may laugh at everything, and some nights they think some other things are more funny, depending on the audience, yeah.
So I guess the key is you need to go more than once to mess with these guys. But I'll go back to my original question, because as per usual, I've already gone away from what we were talking about. But, Eleanor, Charlie, opening night versus closing night.
I definitely feel opening night is where the nerves kind of come in, because it's like, oh, it's finally here after all the rehearsals.
Yeah.
But it's also so... nice to finish the opening night and be like, wow, we did it, and it's come together.
Yeah.
And then closing night, I'd probably favour, because you get to put it all out there one last time. You've had so much fun, and you know what the audiences are going to kind of react to, and, like, have fun with that. So, yeah.
Well reasoned. Charlie?
I think opening night is sort of the freak out, do I know my lines? And then when you get to closing night, even if you fail, there's no more. Sorry, Tracy, if you're hearing this. So I quite enjoy closing night, because also I think you tend to, as a cast, ramp up through the play, and, like, you get more and more energetic each time. And then once you've gotten to closing, then you know, oh, I don't have to preserve my energy for anything else. Do you have that just one last big show? And I think that's quite fun. And then afterwards you can kind of go backstage and go, oh, my goodness, we did it. We've done. That was amazing. So I think for me... closing night, yeah.
Okay. All very well reasoned. I'm impressed. And do you guys have any two show days in the season?
sorry, Tracy, sorry, Liz.
No, I didn't write it down. I know that you're running from the 29th of November to the 13th of December.
I'm pretty sure just the first week we have a few matinees and then night shows. But then I think it's just one night shows from then on.
Because two show days, it's because you were talking, Charlie, about conserving energy, and then two show days, it's a gift and a curse, eh?
Yeah. It's always fun because you get to hang out in between shows with your cast members.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think the worst I've ever done was when I was doing dance, I had three shows in a day. That was awful.
What time was the first one?
I don't even know. I don't remember most of that day.
Yeah, you just, like, black out, like... Far out. Okay, well, we'll take a two-show day then. But what I think we might do now as well is take a cheeky song break. And because I'm me, I've tried to pick music today that's, like, on theme with, like, what we're talking about. And, you know, we're talking about the Grinch-ish, so I've got to play You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch by Thil Ravenscroft. Are you guys familiar with the song?
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, we still vibe the song. We're not sick of the song. Does the song feature in the show?
No, I don't think it does.
Oh, okay. You guys, the unison, that's incredible.
We work together too much.
Yeah, too much of a good thing. But, okay, well, at least we can vibe out to it now. So here's You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cut ugly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Appropriate song choice for today. That's You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, because I've been talking to a few, I was going to say several, and I'm like, I've got three cast members from The Grinch-ish. And actually, that's a good question. How many of you are there in the cast? Rough numbers. That's a hard question,
roughly?
I know.
Roughly. There's a good mix of kids and adults. There's like 12 adults, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
13 or 14 kids.
So about like 25-ish?
Yeah.
25, 27?
Class size.
Like that.
That's quite a few people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it when we're there, though.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, how do you all fit?
Yeah, somehow. Most of us shove backstage.
Yeah. And, okay, so we've got a mix of ages. Mm-hmm. How has the kind of rehearsal process been for this one, working with a kind of mixed group?
I think I'm personally quite used to it, so I'm quite used to a bit of the chaos that comes with children all the time, regardless of theatre or not.
I mean, I will say, it's the young ones, and I'm allowed to say this because I'm like a rapidly ageing millennial, but the young ones, I feel like, don't discount the rangatahi, because you know that they will know their lines and learn yours. Have we got a bit of that?
Yeah. We've got a young kid in it. I think she's 7. She plays Polly.
8.
She's eight and she plays Polly, and she's just picking up everybody's lines, and then she'll correct us on them if we're slightly wrong.
Yeah, it's character building stuff, eh? Because then you're like, oh, okay, I got to put in the work. And we've kind of name-dropped your director already. But Tracy Riddle, Tracy, I'm sorry if I'm getting your name. I always think to her name, her maiden name, and I'm like, I didn't say her maiden name, and so I hope I've got her name right. But friend of the show, actually, Tracy, I'm trying to think if I've actually had you on That's the Ticket yet. We need to sort that out. Mm-hmm. But have you guys, any of you guys worked with her before?
Yes, yeah. Me and Charlie have.
Oh, was that Aladdin?
Yes.
Okay.
This is actually my third time working with her. I've done one more pantomime at the Gaslight Theatre, Peter Pan's pantomime.
Okay. Oh. Who were you in Peter Pan?
I was, again, ensemble.
Okay, great. We love to see it. You love a good pantomime, mate.
Yeah, I think, especially the age I am, it's one of the easiest parts to get at the Gaslight Theatre. So
yeah.
Kind of being, I think I'm 18 now. Yes, I am 18.
just really enjoying that you were also...
You're a month younger than me.
Oh, I know what my age is. It's fine.
I get confused. Yeah. But let's just pretend that I'm also 18, just for the sake of this. Okay, so I cut you off just to try to be funny, but you were saying that...
Yeah, no. Given kind of the age range of a lot of the actors and the people who take part in Gaslight, there's more roles for some of the older actors. So as someone who's coming into it as a younger actor, I've been a bit more behind the scenes in other plays, and pantomimes are the ones where it's easiest for me to get on stage.
Great. Okay, let's talk more about the behind-the-scenes stuff. So have you done, like, some work backstage?
I've done a tiny bit of lighting.
Great.
And I do front of house for several of the plays.
Awesome. Great. Do you find, as an actor, having kind of seen how it works from the other side of the curtain helps?
I think so. I think regardless of the experience I have a great deal of respect for those who do all of the lighting. I've never had to set it, but it looks incredibly difficult. And kind of also seeing especially how hard directors work, I have never directed. I have so much respect for directors. I think I would be way too exhausted by the end of it.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing, because it's like you're the person who has to have all the answers to the questions, right? But I mean, I guess to our remaining guests, have we done any backstage work before?
I can't say that I've personally done much of the, like, lighting and sound, but I like to get involved with costume and hair and helping everyone set up with everything. So we had our sewing machines out the other day making some more costumes for the group, so helped out with that when I could. And it's always fun seeing, like, parents get involved to help with makeup, costumes, helping the little ones and the older ones who need more help with their hair that they don't always do.
Yeah, okay. You got to be careful. You've just broadcast live on radio that you can sew, and it's always hard. That's the hardest part to find good sewers, but good on you. Shannon?
I can't say with this play that I've done much backstage. In previous shows, I've helped do a couple of things backstage, and I've always dragged my parents along to do stuff as well. My dad's done like sound and lighting in pretty much everything I've been in.
Great.
And my mum's always either been acting or helping out with like prompting or casting and directing and stuff.
Okay, it's a real family affair, isn't it?
Yeah, I get it from them.
So my parents met in a theatre. Yeah, in their house they have a framed program of the first show that they were in together when they first met.
And it's
it is so cute, and because obviously it was before they got married, so my mum's got her maiden name and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, it's very cute. I wasn't expecting to talk about that today, but, you know, mum will be listening, so kia ora, mum. And, okay, so... We would kind of, because it's a pantomime, even though despite in that earlier voice break you guys were talking about how you're not, you don't think you can sing, but you do sing in this play?
Minimal.
Yeah, we typically do, we pretty much only do cast singing, so there's songs throughout it that if you listen, you'll hear the cast singing. But there is a couple of songs in there. For example, Charlie does a little duet with the Grinch.
Yeah. I think that one's going to be quite entertaining. I think it's a bit more of character singing than actual art singing. I'm not as good at doing very nice sounding singing. My voice always breaks.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, I guess it's the character singing makes sense because you're kind of like evil sidekick energy in this one.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's been a lot of fun.
Unfortunately for you, Owen, who plays the Grinch, is a fantastic singer.
He's so incredible.
Yeah.
I've given up on trying to be good and I've just gone full character voice because otherwise I will sound even worse if I try.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, as I like to say, if you can dream it, you can do it, guys. just to anyone listening back home. But if you've, you know, we've kind of touched on how you've got quite a sizable cast. It's a pantomime, so it's obviously a lot of fun. I don't know if... are you guys familiar with the term corpsing?
Oh, yes. I've been told off for this a lot in high school.
Okay. Please share with the group the definition of corpsing.
Corpsing is basically when you break out of character, you start smiling on stage. Corpsing is kind of killing the show by going out of character.
Yeah, or laughing.
Laughing mainly.
I feel like this is like... the perfect setting for that. Do you guys find that? Or are we at a point where we were kind of used to the joke?
I just got collective looks. My dad is acting in the show as well. He plays the dame. So he's got the proper outfit on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to share too much of that because you have to come along and see that.
Some incredible mime to accompany
that. But it does cause me to crack up every single time I see it.
Fun fact, in my youth, I was in a pantomime. It was Hercules and my dad was the dame in that. So I'm like, are we in the
you
same
share
life?
We share.
I think I was on stage when he was on stage as well. He had a song and he was on roller skates. It was the whole thing. Yeah. But with the corpsing, it's slightly challenging then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's also always a bit of ad-libbing, I find. Like sometimes we have to pause because there's a break. There's still like some last minute things being organized. So sometimes there's a break and there's a bit of ad-libbing audience interaction. And on a couple of times where I've been on stage, something so out of pocket has been said, so unexpected to me, I just started giggling a little bit. I'm sure I'll be better when it comes to show night, but just it's been so unexpected sometimes that I just couldn't help but corpse a little.
I mean, it's potentially, I don't know if it's a good thing, but I often have this chat with guests because often I'm talking to people when they're just about to like get in the theatre and get it going. And so how long have you guys actually been rehearsing on this one?
Ooh, like 2 months?
Yeah, maybe that around there.
They grow up so fast.
They do. It doesn't feel like it's been that long,
no,
really.
But because I always wonder, it's like, you know, you've been working on this for a period of time and so everyone kind of in the space is used to the jokes and used to it. And so, and this is my cheekiest radio host question, which is, are you guys ready to get this thing in front of a crowd? Oh, a pause says a
pause,
thousand words, guys.
Collective share, yeah.
I think that, yeah, I think it's just recently clicked, like, yeah, this last past weeks. So, yeah, I think we will be ready by show night, and I think knowing our dances is just the biggest part here because we've just started learning those. So knowing the dances and then putting everything together will look real good, and I think, yeah, it's coming along now.
That was a very professional answer. I'm very impressed.
We're definitely in a good position for the amount of time we have left, but I do think it recently clicked to all of us, wow, showtime is just around the corner. We've really got to know things.
Yeah.
Like, I realised how close it was, and I was like, do I actually know my lines?
I'm glad you bring this up, because I often like to ask actors, with line learning, do we have any methods for that? Like, how do you learn your lines?
I'm horrible at not reading my lines at home. I find that the only way I learn them is on stage, practicing them, or with the person I'm actually doing a line with.
Okay.
So don't take advice from me.
Right.
Yeah, my method's a bit different too. I read it through at like home once, get it in my head after rehearsing it a few times, but I always read them just before I go on stage.
Yeah.
So it's always in my head, and I just, because I know them, but it's just easier to just read through quickly a few scenes and then have it in my head on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even at halftime I read through them even though I know them.
Well, so even like the show is on and you're there.
Yeah. I know it, I just... You know that feeling when you're like, oh, do you really?
I do know that feeling. That's why I'm a happily retired actor. Charlie, what's good?
I think I'm one of the people who has a very good memory, so I'm lucky in that way. So they just randomly pop into my head. This time, though, this is one of my first big acting roles in community theater. So I've actually been meeting up with our actor of The Grinch to go through our lines together. We have a lot of scenes together, so I found for me that's been a good way to learn them.
Okay, I've had quite a few different methods. People writing them out backwards, very specific highlighting. I did have one guest this year who has a photographic memory, and I thought they were kidding. But yeah, I mean, you don't need my approval of the methods, but you have it. A little bit questionable on your channel.
Don't tell Tracy.
It's the secret safe with us and whoever's listening. And so yeah.
It's okay, Tracy, block your ears.
But I mean, I already touched on the young ones are keeping you all accountable, so that's always good. Sometimes I do have people who do the like recording method, so they record themselves saying their cue lines and saying their lines, and then like listen to them in the car and stuff. But again, that's the whole you then have to listen to your own voice.
Yeah. Which none of us agreed to do at the beginning of this.
Yeah, you get used to it the more you do a radio show. But I'm going to break now for an important segment. And this might be new to you guys because you're all new guests to That's the Ticket. But it's time for something that I call Rick's Pick. So Rick's Pick, the way this works is I have an Uncle Rick. And he's a great listener of radio, great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket 243 episodes ago, thank you. I don't look a day over 240. he was like, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like. And each week you can pick a song from the list and play Rick's Pick. And every week I do. And now, like, I already kind of touched on this with the first track, but I try and pick songs from the list that are on theme with, like, who I'm talking to and what we're talking about. So I've gone for the Christmassy vibe. I've got Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. Mm-hmm. You may know it. It's a banger, and I know it's November, and I'm very adamant about the no at the start of November means no Christmas. So maybe I am perfect for the Grinch-ish because I am a little bit of a Grinch-ish. But, yeah, I'm making an exception for the sake of radio and for Rick's Pick. So, Uncle Rick, this one's for you, mate. As always, thank you and enjoy.
The spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding. Thank you.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight.
Oldie but a goodie, that was this week's Rick's Pick, Wonderful Christmas Time, classic by Paul McCartney. If you're just joining us, welcome back to That's the Ticket with me, your host Hannah Mooney, and I've got three cast members from Gaslight Theatre in Cambridge's upcoming production of The Grinch-ish. I have some questions about the title, and you're not meant to judge a book by its cover. But, I mean, I guess if I see the show, it will make sense, right? Is that...
I think it's because it is the story of the Grinch, but it has quite a lot of different tellings to it and a lot of references to more modern things than the actual Grinch story that we all know and love.
Yeah, fair. Well-reasoned. And, I mean, obviously we've been blasting the Christmas tunes on TTT today and... Like, it just kind of occurred to me that you open at the end of November, so that feels like okay, but you guys have been rehearsing for this one. Mm. Was it weird getting Christmassy?
I've got to say that since we started a bit earlier, we started all the way in October,
yeah.
It was a bit weird having to sing all the Christmas songs all the way back then, and then leading up all the... way to December and continuing to sing the songs.
Yeah.
I guess different people feel different ways about it, but a lot of us were a bit...
A bit grinchy?
Yeah, a bit grinchy about having to sing the Christmas songs, but yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys, you're probably gearing up to Halloween and then you've just got random Christmas rehearsals just kind of out the gate. I mean, I've talked about this quite a bit on That's the Ticket this year, and I'm not sure why, but I live with my sister... And she has this tradition, I think this year was like the third or fourth year, we call it Spooktober, where every day of October she films herself jump scaring me. and then she makes a compilation video at the end and then posts that. And we have a bonus boo section, which is when she scares our mum. Because at the time her mum... Our mum and her were working in the same place, and so my sister would go and scare her at work, and it brought a lot of people a lot of joy. I do it for everyone else, because everyone's like, do you just hate October? And I'm like, I hate parts of October. And they're like, aren't you just constantly on edge? And I'm like, no, because every day I just kind of forget that I'm going to get jump scared, because it's never the same. It's never the same. So, I don't know, I just segued onto that because we were just getting a bit grinchy about holidays. I think I am more of a Halloween person than a Christmas person, though.
Yeah, me same.
Too. Oh, okay, you guys would love The Nightmare Before Christmas because it's...
Yes.
I do, actually.
Me too.
I think we were asked to talk about, for our program, we were asked to talk a bit about some of our favourite movies, and I do think I put that one in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, what did you guys put in, do you remember?
I don't even remember being asked to do this.
Oh, okay. I'm hoping that was supposed to happen.
Were you there?
Tracy.
No. This is great. I feel like poor Tracy has had so many apologies.
We love
today.
You, Tracy.
We do. And, I mean, is there anyone else from the team that we need to shout out or mention?
Liz, definitely.
Liz and Tracy, both the directors, work well together, and they work and give so much time into the show, and they're always there, putting in the effort, putting in the hours, and helping us out whenever we need it.
Yeah, Liz does a fantastic job with the costumes and stuff. She's got the vision for that. Tracy was always bringing in everything for the set.
Yeah.
Lots of things from her home have been stolen, so.
Great.
Also, I think a little shout out to the rest of the cast as well. Mm-hmm. If it was just us three on stage, I think it would be a bit of a weird looking show.
So. I think so
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I mean, I reckon now that I've been talking to you guys for the length of this interview so far, if I also join the cast, I reckon we could do it.
I reckon we could. Divide the cast into four. I'm sure we've got
a four-man show. You know,
Charlie, you could play Grinch.
Yeah, I can be Grinch and Grinch's sidekick. Sounds like fun.
At the same time, just a bit of a.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already know all my lines. So.
It's mostly just ho, ho, ho.
Great. Okay, I reckon I can do that. It's three words. I got it. I got it. I got it nailed. But I want to be a bit cheeky again and take a step away from the Grinch-ish and ask if anyone's got any other kind of upcoming creative projects after this one. I mean, obviously, we've kind of got Christmas after this, but anyone got any other shows on the books yet?
Collective looks.
I think the only thing I'm thinking forwards to is the next show at the Gaslight. I'll probably be helping out with front of house or something there. Crocodile Fever.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, so that's our next show at the Gaslight. I think that's a 3-person show. And it sounds like there might be some accent involved. It sounds like it might be a bit funny as well. Sounds like it's going to be a very good play when that one comes around. So yeah, hopefully I'll be able to help out at front of house and help make sure that one gets run nice and smoothly.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, that's a nice segue because I do a little upcoming events segment as well, so I can launch into that unless anyone else has anything they want to say. No? Collective silence. do you guys love how I call you out for your mime? No one's safe.
We keep pointing at each other and you just call us out for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's entertaining for everyone involved. but here are some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton and beyond. Feel free to interject if I've missed anything. I mean, Charlie, you've already given Crocodile Fever a cheeky plug, so appreciate it. But in case you haven't heard, The Grinch-ish is running at the Gaslight Theatre 29th of November to 13th of December. If you want to put some faces to the voices you've been hearing today, I highly recommend visiting gaslight.nz to book tickets. You've got 7:30pm shows and a couple of 2pm matinees, one on the 30th of November and one on the 7th of December. There isn't an age rating for the show, right? I think someone said it was like family friendly.
It's family friendly. There's jokes in there for adults. There's jokes in there for the kids. Yeah. Good mix.
Yeah. I do love that. You know, when you're at something with kids and there's a joke and you're like, this one's for me.
You'll hear quite a few of those in there.
You definitely will.
All welcome. Yeah.
elsewhere, over at Rivoli Theatre, they have Disney's Freaky Friday the Musical running 22nd of November to 13th of December. Shows are at 7:30pm, plus there's a 2pm matinee on the 29th of November. More info on tickets are available now at iTicket. Over at the Meteor, the Witches of Eastwick is running from the 27th to the 29th of November. More info on tickets at themeteor.co.nz. And up the road at Clarence Street Theatre, they have Taylor, a tribute to the eras of Taylor Swift, and on the 13th of December. Yep, Taylor Swift's birthday, I know. It's really good timing. More info on tickets at Ticketek. Yeah. Can we unpack the collective Taylor Swift reaction?
I just didn't know that was on.
Neither. Yeah. That was news to me.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys have a show that night, so I don't think you'll be able to attend.
Yeah.
Are we Swifties?
No, not personally.
Not really.
No?
I have a friend who's a big Swiftie, but not me.
Okay. You have a friend. No. Yeah. Everyone's miming quotation marks. Just again, gotta dictate it for radio. But I've got one last question for you guys. And I'm not sure how this one's going to go, but I'll give it a crack. Collective panic. but you guys have been here on TTT with me, giving me the tea, the inside scoop on the Grinch-ish. And so my last question for you is, how do you take your tea? Like, if you're going to have a cup of tea, how do we have it?
I like peach iced tea, if that counts.
I like iced tea too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't mind some original old English, though. Don't mind about that.
Like hot tea?
Yeah, of course.
Walk me through, like, the hot tea, is their milk, is their sugar, bag in, bag out?
I did it one time at a girl guides thing, and you had the proper old English. You put some milk in it, some sugar cubes.
Yeah.
That's always how I've done it since.
Okay. Milk first or nah?
No,
you just looked at me with so much rage.
I was trying to understand if that was a genuine question.
It was, but like if you'd said yes, there would have been a very heated discussion, I think.
I think so too. We'll just
it brings out a lot of chat, the tea question, because everyone has a very strong opinion. Eleanor, so you're on the iced tea?
Yes, the iced tea.
Okay.
Definitely.
Just peachy, mate. And Charlie, do you drink tea?
I think the most tea I make is for other people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At front of house, we do coffee and tea.
Yeah.
They have those, so I'll be at the front of the house. Usually if I'm up there, I'll be on the coffee, but I do also help out with the tea.
Okay.
So I think the most tea I make is for my mother or at the front of house. So yeah, not really a tea drinker myself.
Mm. Okay.
You're good at plugging the show though.
Thank you.
How does your mum take their tea?
My mother has usually the Old English, steep it properly so that the tea goes nice and dark, and then add a splash of milk.
Okay.
That's how she takes it.
Great. Shout out to the mums. My mum's recently changed up how she takes her tea, and I used to throw shade at it a lot on That's the Ticket because she used to have really milky tea, but now she's kind of pulled back on that, and it's weird because I'm like, what do I talk about now? Like, you know, where do we go from here? Great. Well, that was terrific. it's great because I feel like I tell that joke every week, but because I have new guests every week,
it's like, different
so I've told it for the first time. But I guess I want to say, firstly, thank you for giving me your time and coming in to have a chat. Break a leg, do we know what that means?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, because I feel like I bandy about that term here on That's the Ticket a lot, and then I worry that people listening are like, why is Hannah threatening her guests to have, like, given their time to come talk about it? But, yeah, break a leg, it means, I can say it because we're in a studio, not a theatre. It means good luck because it's bad luck to say good luck when you're in the theatre, so you say break a leg. Do we know any other theatre superstitions?
What's the Shakespeare one?
We're not in a theatre, are we?
No.
This doesn't
count.
We're not in a
Macbeth, cannot say that in a theatre.
I feel like everyone just collectively was like...
yeah, we all kind of just tensed up a little.
Yeah, when he said it, I'm just like, oh, no. and then do you know about the whistling one?
Mm.
Don't actually.
Neither. Very briefly, it was, I don't know if it's the same one as you're talking about.
That's
but
okay.
In one of our old theatres, if you whistled, and specifically in the back, it was said to, like, just bring really bad luck.
It is bad luck. And there's different reasons for all these superstitions, because you know I'm a massive nerd, so I've looked it up. But the whistling is because back in the day, like, the fly floor up the top of the theatre when people are, like, pulling stuff in and out of the stage, the flymen used to communicate by whistling to each other. And so if you're walking across the stage and you're just like whistling, then you might get like something dropped on you because the flymen will think it's their cue. Yeah. Oh, see, that's a nice educational note to leave the end on, isn't it? But ho, 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 have fun. And, thanks again. And to my lovely guests, you're my lovely guests, my lovely listeners, you can bet that I'll be back soon with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, I might as well play us out with, it's not a Christmas song, I don't think. It's a song by Carole King, and it's called The Snow Queen. Oh, it's called Snow Queen because, that's a reference to the show. Is it a secret? Can we talk about it or not?
I think we're allowed to mention there is a character called the Snow Queen.
Yes, there is a Snow Queen in the show.
Yeah, okay. Your reaction made me feel like I did a good job. So
that's a good pick.
Yeah. Let's take a break from Christmas music, listen to some Carole King, and, go see the Grinch-ish team. But until then, matewa.
She'll never dance.
podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.